You think you know about relationships, but you're wrong. Listen, there's no magic bullet. I'm teaching life skills.
When you're sick, you need medicine. It don't always taste good.
Nah.
But it'll get you better.
You
need this medicine.
Yeah.
It ain't gonna always taste good. But this is what you need. Men and women, bottom line, we need to have the conversation. Your partner wants to give up control, but only if you know how to drive. This is about being the best you could ever be. Whoever you are, I don't care if you're a man, a woman, LGBTQ, space aliens. I'll save anybody. I don't care. I'll teach a hedgehog how to have a threesome.
What do you mean by that?
Look, you don't have to listen to me, but you're wrong.
Listen, I know I'm great. And I know you're thinking, Dante, there's no way I could be like you. But you could be me, you know why?
Because you know who I was? Before I was me, I was you. You.
Man score 202.
Better hear what I've got to say because you won't get it again.
I'm not an alpha male. I'm not a beta male either. I'm just a better man. Better man.
Well, put your happiness first, because if you don't, they won't.
What's up, Square Pippa Gay? GYBB, get your balls back. WWDD, what would Dante do? The sexual revolution is being podcasted, and I am excited. Now, I know I've said that 500 times before, but this time I really mean it. We got a special guest, special show. Harry, you ready to rock and roll?
Absolutely, Dante. I'm having a tough time keeping these gators down, but other than that, I'm good to go.
Ready to go. I want to introduce my guest. Andre is blowing up and he's writing and doing all kinds, so he's not going to be on today, but check him out on Andre D. Thompson on all his social media, whatever. And I want to introduce my guest. This dude's a really good friend of mine. We've been banging the clubs for many years now. Writer of The Daily Show on The Daily Show, Comedy Central. Has a new podcast called The Paul Mercurio Show. Am I right about that, Paul?
Yeah, I named it myself, man.
All right. It's so cool.
Yeah, we workshopped the title for like 6 months, and that's what we came up with.
And that's what you came up with, your name and show. It's good to see you.
Hey, man, it's great to see you.
Same, man.
I miss not being with you in the clubs and all this craziness. Like, it's so great to see you, though, man.
Yeah, it's good. How'd you hold up with all the end of the world shit?
Well, I got COVID. I got
really
COVID.
Yeah.
And I got it in Florida performing in a club down there in Palm Beach. They
who'd have thought that?
Yeah, unbelievable. They weren't making anybody wear masks in the town, right? So like, if I dropped you from another planet, you wouldn't know that there was a pandemic.
Right.
And people are coming up to me like, you don't need a mask. It's all, the whole thing's a hoax. And these are like people that look normal. This isn't like the crazy cat lady down the street from you, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
And so the club wasn't making anybody wear masks at the table, but they were like, oh, they have to wear masks when they go to the bathroom. Like, that's like 5 minutes out of the night. Like,
right,
the rest of the night.
Right.
Just laughing and spitting and whatever.
Nice that they had their science together for that. Nice that they had the science together for that. Like, they'll just do it in the bathroom. No big deal.
Exactly.
We got it.
They basically flunked science. They did everything backwards, right? And then they were like, oh, we clean the club every night. We have somebody come in. And it's like, I said, like, you just take your money and flush it down the toilet, because you're letting people come in and sit at the table for an hour and a half and spit flying out of their mouth. And
also, it was you're like, supposed to clean the club every night.
Well, that's the only upside to COVID for this club, was that they finally cleaned it. And it was a really nice plumbing.
And that's also why Dangerfield's closed, because they had to clean it.
They had the option. They could have stayed open. Right. They went, you can clean this.
Like,
and they went,
I got to clean this. I'm out, man. I'm out. Fuck this.
Chario was like, you don't need to clean anything. I was on stage at Dangerfield's once. And that son of a bitch, this guy Chario, for anybody listening, is this old Greek waiter at Dangerfield's, and they all dress in these little short red jackets, like a bad lounge in Vegas, still. And he would like just, he'd come out, remember, like with food, right? And the table's right in front, and it'd be like French fries overflowing the plate, and he'd just be like, and you're like, so then I was, I told the cab driver, and it's like, boom, here you go, ride the burger, ride the thing. And literally a fry flipped off the plate and landed on my foot while I was on stage.
Yeah, Chario is a fucking nightmare. Oh, he is a fucking nightmare. Oh. He had cancer. I don't know if he made it. We don't know yet. Nobody will never know because the club is closed now. Oh, so Jesus. We'll never know.
The club gave him cancer, I'm sure. Like, so yeah, I got COVID, and then I start going to the doctor, and I had the shortness. I didn't have like the breathing thing, but I lost my taste and smell, and I got inflammation. And I was really tired, and then the doctors don't know anything. And you could like you go, and you'd say like, yeah, I got the this, I got the shortness of breath, I got this, I got the can't taste smell, and you could say anything. Like you'd be like, every Tuesday frogs crawl out of my ass. Yeah, yeah, we've heard that, right? Yeah, and then they're like, and then you go, how come? And they go, we don't know. We don't. There's not enough. So
you got it early. You got it really early on.
Yeah, I got it last June, and but I'm still tired from it, and I had like inflammation in my elbows and stuff like that, and and then like you have these friends that like think they're helping you when you get sick, and they're like, oh, you got it, okay, don't worry, you'll be fine. He goes, although I know a guy, and he got it, and then like a month later, they found a blood clot in his leg, and they almost had to remove his leg. I'm like, are you trying to help me right now?
that's like every time I ride, I bought a new motorcycle, I bought a new Ducati, right? And every time I go, they go, yeah, oh man, it's a beautiful bike. But I know this guy he hit a bump and he flew in the overpass and cut his head off. Oh, thanks. Thanks for that. I appreciate you so much.
Exactly. You start looking through your pants for the receipt for the bike so you can take it back. It's like, yeah. And the guy kept going on. I know another guy at lost his sense of taste. They said it's been over a year. He can't taste anything. I'm like, you're fucking killing me. Just leave me alone, right? So it just became that. And then, you know, I was like,
did you get your taste back? Yeah, I don't know.
I did. I got my taste back. But if I get really tired, then I lose my sense of taste.
It's wow.
Like, and I still don't have my stamina back yet. Like I, you know, like if I go to the gym a couple of days back to back or whatever, I'm doing a lot of stuff, then I don't. And then like, I don't know what were you doing during COVID, but I was like, I was just losing my mind. I was doing some work in my house, and I had to order some stuff on Amazon, like screws, like certain like stainless steel screws that I needed. Yeah, and I was tracking the package of screws. That's how bored I was. I was like, are they here yet? I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ.
Well, I had a son. You know I had a son, but I was, working with the phone company. I got 3 more years before I can. I don't want to blow my pension, so yeah. I got 3 more years to do. And so I, you know, phone company is essential. I don't know how much I'm essential, what a shit worker I am, but but I mean, as it goes, we're all essential. So I worked right through it. I mean, when the quarantine hit, I had a video up that I put up on social media where it was like the first day where everybody was locked down, and I was on 47. I was on 7th Avenue 47, and it was just pigeons and nobody there. Like on noon, it was just like a fucking ghost town.
Crazy.
So I felt like I Am Legend. You know, so
just you and a dog, right?
Me and a deer and a lion. So, but I mean, you know, so I worked all through it. So I didn't really, you know, I mean, I didn't really have that thing. It was just, but it was nice because my son is so young, and it was good that I could be home with him, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's something that we don't really get to do, but,
Teach him porn, how to find good porn. Stuff
yeah,
like
I was.
That.
Well, he's not there yet, but he is jumping out of the playpen like without a problem. Like the cops are chasing after him, so it's fine. He'll be fine. So
you didn't get COVID, did you?
I think I had it. You know Chris Cotton, right?
Yeah.
He passed away, but I think they're thinking now that he got it, that he had it. Now that's what took him out, you know. And so I had the dry cough and the shortness of breath and stuff, but I, you know, it was like
January.
I got tested and I had the antibodies, but I don't know when or You know, so I mean, I didn't have it
at some point. I didn't have a rough.
I didn't have a real rough time, though. I mean, I remember the dry cough early on, but it was what people weren't even really talking about COVID then. You know, like January and stuff. So, you know, whatever. It just it is what it is. I mean, you know, it's good to see things coming back. So we'll see you back out again. How's your son?
It is and it isn't. Like I'm kind of. I'm not missing interacting with people because I just, they're such assholes out there, but I.
Yeah. You don't realize how nice it is not to talk to people sometimes.
Yeah. And you know, from my act, like a lot of my act is just about how I'm constantly getting in confrontations with people because I think I'm going to change the world. But I went to go visit my mother up in Rhode Island and then she wanted some coffee. So I would go through the drive through and bring her some coffee. And this is when I realized I don't think I'm ready to go back because the guy goes, what do you want? I go, I want two cranberry muffins and a coffee. He goes, you want a hot coffee or iced coffee? I go, hot coffee. He goes, okay, two blueberry muffins and a nice coffee. I'm like, no, two cranberry muffins. And a hot coffee. He goes, okay, you want anything in the coffee? He goes, yeah, I'd like some cream or half and half. He goes, okay, hot coffee and two cranberry muffins. Coffee's black, right? I go, no, cream. He goes, well, you want cream or half and half? I go, half and half or cream. He goes, you want it in the coffee or on the side? I go, in your coffee. And then he goes, all right, so it's iced coffee? I go, no, it's hot coffee. He goes, do you want anything in it? I go, yes. And I went, anything that's white. I want anything that's white in the coffee, right? And as I'm saying that, I'm like, please don't have the guy be black. And I go around the corner of the window, and he's fucking black. I was like, oh, Jesus Christ. And I'm like, I'm not ready to go back. I can't go back.
But. I'm not going to miss the mask because I just realized now how much people have been shitting, pissing, spitting polio and rickets on us all these years that we were just breathing in all kinds of syphilis and gonorrhea. I'm not. How's the marriage going? How did that happen with the marriage and your lady and your son? How's your son?
My son's good. He's getting big and he's
How old is he now?
He's 16 and he's he got it, but like it came and went like that. And he's got a girlfriend. Well, it's a girl. He keeps bringing her name up. You know, I'm going to go see so-and-so. And it started out like, I'm going to go hang out with like Olivia, John and Maddie. And then it was like, I'm going to hang out with Olivia and Maddie. Then it was like, I'm going to hang out with Maddie. I'm like, you date Maddie. He goes, no, I'm not. I don't want to talk about it. I'm like, you're dating. And he wouldn't. And he did exactly what I did as a kid. Like he totally got defensive. But it's cool to kind of see him in that mode, you know. And my wife and I have been together since high school, so we've known each other a long time. So we had some fights. I had to stay in the bedroom for 2 weeks because I had COVID and eat off paper plates. And my wife is like very passive and doesn't like to kind of she'll like let people roll over her a little bit, you know. Mm-hmm. And I've been my whole life with her. I've been trying to get her to be like more like, you know, assertive because if I drop dead tomorrow, you don't want, you know, like you don't want the healthcare company just trying to fuck you on something.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I wish she would be more assertive on things and even sex. Like I always have to initiate sex.
Right. Right. That's kind of sucks.
Well, I'm Italian, so we don't. It's all on the sleeve, right? She's a WASP, white Anglo-Saxon Protestant. So they don't. There's not a lot of emotion there. It's just a lot of like they keep it inside,
right? Right.
And then they like drink martinis and get divorced. Like that's their thing. So it's like there's this yin and yang, you know. And so we, you know, we feed off each other, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Now let me ask you this, because you've been on the show before. And one of the things about for the listeners who don't remember, like, we don't know the episode, but go through the episodes, Paul's on there. And, last time you were on, you talked a lot about your mom and how your mom owned the furniture store. And she was just very, just dope, like very aggressive and kind of making things. Was your dad around too? I know your dad passed away, I think.
Yeah, my dad was around, but my dad was really passive because my mother just like sucked all the oxygen out of the room, which she still does. She's 93. We just actually closed her store a month ago.
Wow.
Because she had to finally close it, although she didn't want to close it. Mm-hmm. And it was this complete nightmare because she wouldn't listen. And she treated us like my brother and I helped her do it, like we were 11 years old. She had to go through every single piece of paper herself. Every fucking piece, like she would not let us throw anything out. And if you did, you had to do it like, you know that scene in Godfather where De Niro plays the young Vito and he kills the guy and shoots him in the cheek and it's in the staircase. Then he goes up to the roof of the building and he busts up the gun and he shoves it into different pipes. That's how you have to throw away my mother's shit. I swear to God, because what happens is like you'll what you have to do is like you have to rip it up in like seven pieces.
Spread the pieces
and
all then over.
Spread the pieces because she'll get all the pieces if they're together and she'll fucking tape it back together again. Sorry, I'm getting pissed off already.
She'll tape it back together.
Oh, she'll tape it back together. And this is like an article about furniture from 1986. I'm not kidding you, right? Shit that goes back. She's like a walk-in library with dust. Like, it's ridiculous, right?
Right.
And so she was the dominant one, and my father was passive and too passive. I think, you know, and looking back now, my brother and my sister and I wish, like, my mother could be really hard on us. It made you feel guilty if you didn't work in the store, all that stuff. Mm. And I think my father should have sort of defended us more, and you know, because he was the only one that could. But I think he was just so beaten down. It was like, you know, he'd just have a beer and he goes, "Just do whatever she wants. It's easier, right?"
Right.
Like, that was his whole vibe.
Right, right. It's interesting because I always, you know, you find a lot of times, you know, we've been doing the show a long time and I do the consultations and stuff. Mm. And what you find moreover than not is guys marry their mother. Do you know what I mean? Like they marry the woman that their mother is. It's because there's such a normalization of who. So, you know, I always say, you know, when you're a kid, your mother and your father are the two representations of masculinity or what a man is and what a woman is. And so you find a lot of times who you'll see people who will marry their mother or marry somebody who's very similar to like, and you, it's weird to me that you said that your wife is so passive.
I married my father.
Okay. I'm
serious. Like,
yeah.
My wife loved my father. My father was like so chill and she loved to just talk to him. And so a lot of the traits of my father, I see in my wife and vice versa. And then my mother, I think I'm more like my mother.
Right.
Except I'm not as big an asshole. And she's 93 and she's like 100%. Like, she will not go down. I mean, we try everything, like bad cheese.
You tried to give her pillows. COVID. Send her out.
Yeah. Send her accidentally, into a Walgreens, the pillow no slips onto her face, and I hold it for a while. No, she bounces right back up.
You pull it away and go, "What are you doing?"
Yeah, come on, die old Italian lady. And but you know, it's like I think your childhood informs a lot of stuff. You know, her parents came here from Italy. She was the only girl in an all male family with brothers. You know how the Italians are, very patriarchal. And her father died at 42 when she was just 13, 14 years old. And her mother became epileptic. And so like at 16, she was going to high school and being a seamstress and then going home and cooking and cleaning for these boys. And she kind of got screwed out of a childhood and had to work. And she kind of did that to us. Yeah. Like she used to say, like, "I had to work, you have to work." And it's like, you know, and I try to instill that in my son, but I'm trying to break the cycle because I can finally be like my mother sometimes and like, be busy. Why are you sitting around? You know, and I don't want to be that person. But like my wife is definitely more like my father. And it drives me crazy sometimes with my wife. Like, that's the thing, like that she won't, like sometimes like I got to take over something or do something that she should be doing. And then she goes, "Well, you just don't give me a chance." I go, "No, like I gave you 3 weeks and you're not doing it." And then it turns into this fight and then I'm like the bad guy. And so then I go out and bang a hooker. It's usually the best way to kind of solve
all the
problems. That's
a good solution. That's a good solution.
I mean, you kill her afterwards, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Well, I mean, you can, then it doesn't count then.
Well, there are times they're all over the place. It's not like we're going to be missing her. You know what I'm saying? I just go pick up another one. I just go over to 12th Avenue and I'm good. But yeah, it's really interesting. You know, I never said that to anybody before. So I'm glad you raised that about my wife. I did marry my father. It's really interesting. You know,
well, sometimes you can, there's two ways to break any sort of cycle when you deal with something that's so extreme. You can either, I mean, it's the same thing with abuse, like physical abuse or whatever. You can go and do the exact same thing
or the exact opposite.
Or you go
opposite.
The exact yeah. opposite.
Right.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I'm the exact opposite. There's just so much drama in my family that I went the exact opposite.
You, Harry? And do two, tell.
Yeah.
Were your parents divorced or did they stay together?
They got divorced, but like way too late. They should have gotten divorced much, much
yeah.
earlier.
Yeah.
Would have saved. I mean, it was the only divorce that everyone, all three of the brothers were like, yeah, no, that makes sense. That makes sense.
What took you so long?
Yeah. Or like, we knew this was finished a while ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
Harry's bringing lawyers in. Like, you, I don't know if you met Weinstein and Bakella.
Right. Hey, Dad, I know we're going to go to the Knicks game this afternoon, but maybe you should swing by. There's a good lawyer right over here just across the street from the garden, and we could pop in. And I always thought that my parents should have gotten divorced, but that generation didn't divorce.
They don't do it. They didn't do it.
Now, I know your parents may be older, younger than mine, but they didn't do it. But they were. I remember one time I was little and they were really yelling and it was really bumming me out. And went to my sister and I go, Mommy, Dad, are you going to get divorced? And I can't remember what my sister said, but she was smoking crack. And no, but I really thought they were going to get divorced. And then later in looking back on it now, it's just like my father just seemed so toward the end of his life, just not happy. And they were just, all we did was work. It was all about the store. It was just too much. It was just too much. But do you find you're more like your mother or your father, Harry?
I mean, they're both so crazy. I'm like neither.
Like your father.
I'm literally like neither.
You're like your
no,
father.
You know what? Yeah. Here's the negativity I got from my dad for a long time. And I just had to start breaking this. I was Mr. Negativity because that was what my dad was. So I would always see the most negative part of any possibility. Like what's the most negative outcome that could happen here if something doesn't go right? Right. And you're right, Dante. I am like my dad.
Yeah, I mean, got to ask me. We've been married for 8 years
that's
now.
True.
So
yeah,
so.
That's true. I thought I wasn't. I really thought I wasn't like because that. But that's the only thing I think I inherited from him is that aspect of it. Because one time, I mean, he's going through some shit now, and I go, he's telling me the story of the shit that's going down. My brother fucked something up or whatever, and it's a bad situation. And you know, he's telling me the story. I go, hey, Dad, that's terrible. I'm sorry. He goes, it's worse than terrible. Like what? And no matter what,
are you Jewish?
He's Armenian. My dad's Armenian.
Sounds very Jewish. That
yeah, but you
sounds.
Know that's that. You know, Paul, that immigrant culture.
Yes,
it's about survival.
Yeah.
It's not about self-fulfilling happiness or fulfilling.
Right.
When
I was a kid, I think we had some assignment to ask our parents or something what their dream was when they were a little kid or whatever.
Dream.
Dream. What are you talking about?
Right.
I had
when
no
I,
dream.
When I told my father I dreamt, he beat me with a stick. We don't dream in this family. Yeah.
I kept pestering him. I go, you must have wanted to do something. He goes, listen, I had a dream about eating a sandwich. Leave me alone. And that was the end of it.
It's funny because when Harry tells that story about terrible, it's worse than terrible. The pretext for that was that Harry was like, you know what I'm going to do? No matter how negative he is, I'm just going to confirm it so that he doesn't go on. You know, I mean, his thing is terrible. They're terrible. He goes, you know, that sounds horrible. It sounds terrible, Dad. It really does sound terrible. You don't know what terrible is. Yeah. Like it's just,
I'll give you terrible.
Yeah. Oh, man. That's horrible. It's worse than horrible.
Worse than horrible.
Are you
kidding?
To describe it.
Here, let me show you some pictures. This is horrible.
Yeah.
Growing up like this, we couldn't afford bread.
He called me up one time. He goes, listen, your grandfather is dying. He's not well. And that was 15 years ago. I'm standing like 20 feet from the old man. He's watching soccer in the other room. Just like, what are you doing? So I had to learn how to stop like whatever.
You know, funny is that Harry goes, oh, no, I'm not like my dad at all. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me?
Right, I forgot about that.
I mean, we've had a lot of, you know, different transitions to the show and stuff like that.
Oh,
and Harry will always start and says, listen, I don't want to be the negative guy, but and then he spews
some negative shit.
Negative.
A half hour of negative shit, and then he goes, oh, I mean, I'm just trying to be practical, and I go, none of that is practical. Oh, that's man. All just negative. But you have these patterns. You get in these patterns, and then you don't really, you're not aware of it, and then you know. So it's interesting when you're talking about like I'm trying to break the cycle. I'm trying to, you know, but you got to be aware of it.
We used to, my mother's so psychotic. Like, we used to, my brother and I, like, on a Saturday, like, we always had to work and deliver furniture, like, on a Saturday and a Sunday on, like, Christmas Eve, because people needed to have their new fucking ugly sofa that they could die in. And so some Saturdays, like, you know, we couldn't go out and hang out and play with our friends because we had to work in the store, and she'd go run an errand. And she caught us a couple of times, like, just standing around in the store, just standing in the store. Now, these are two young guys, like, that should be out playing with their friends.
How old?
I was probably 14. My brother's like 19. Yeah. So, like, she comes in the store, like, fucking just raging, going, "What are you doing standing around? If you stand around and they see you standing around, they think there's no business to be had and there's something wrong with the store. Keep busy. Keep it." Here, and she'd throw a rag at us. "Dust. Just dust." I'm like, "I dust so much I fucking burned the hole in the glass." "Where? What are you talking about?" Right? And to this day, I have trouble. My wife reminds me of just
letting somebody sit still.
Yeah, my wife says, you just be. Just let it just. Because there's that thing, you know, when that gets ingrained, you're really young, like, you got to keep busy. And that, I find that sometimes, like, if I come in and this house and my son's like watching TV, whatever, and it's a nice day, part of me is like, you know, sometimes I will say, "Go out, it's a nice day." Or if he's just sitting around, like, on his phone.
What are you doing?
Dust. Right. And he's like, "I'm sorry. I said a PTSD. I had a flashback." And so I find I have to stop myself from that, you know.
Yeah,
I had a situation. My dad was so caustic with, like, customer service people or somebody. If he thought he was so, he had like a phobia that people were making fun of him because he was an immigrant, basically. Like,
they were just making fun of him because he was so fucking negative. That's
right, no doubt. But in his head, it was always like, "Oh, because I don't speak the language like you." He wouldn't take the number at the deli counter, or somebody messed up and they help somebody else, and then that became a thing of, like, him getting into a public shouting match, and I would be so embarrassed by that. I was just like, as a grown up, up until a couple of years ago, if I went into a restaurant and they brought me the wrong food, I would just eat the food. I go, "I'm not even."
You went the other way.
Yeah, I went the complete other way. Like, I don't want no conversation with nobody.
Right.
I didn't
even
want to talk to anybody.
Yeah,
it was just fucking.
Yeah,
weird that I went into comedy, but I mean, that was the only time I would talk to people, because that's how he was. And I just,
well, I'm like your father, but I do it because I think that people need to say something when there's bag. But I like it, and I said at the beginning, I got a ton of stories, but, like, and I've done it in front of my son, and my wife got really mad at me, and, like, I think my son is doing what you're doing, because he just he's just like, you know.
You don't want none of the smoke.
No, you know what I mean? They bring him water and just pour it in his lap. He's like, "Fuck it, I'll take it that way. I'll just suck on my pants."
My dad would be driving after the thing, still having the fight, like, talking to himself, like, "You think you're some dummy? You think you're messing with..."
Yeah, exactly.
"You think I just got off the boat?" And I go, "Hey, Dad, what are you talking about?" Nothing. Don't worry about it.
I remember his dad came to see Harry Caroline's. And they, you know, how the Carolines had the mugs, and he was like, "This mug is $8 for this mug. This is what did he say? Like,
for coffee, too much.
Like, too much for coffee." And then he stole the mug.
So he could get his money's worth. That's I'm gonna awesome. Pay that much. I'm getting something.
Is he still alive? You should hang out with my mother.
Alive and well.
Jesus. My mother's worse. And here's the problem. My mother's a fucking maniac. So that's why I'm hanging out with my dad. That's why I'm staying with my dad at the moment.
He's the good one.
How's your mom a maniac? In what way?
She was obsessive compulsive, like, had germophobia, cleaning constantly, screaming at people.
Harry still hasn't got any nose hair from all the bleach. She's Latino too, so it's just scrubbing the place with bleach.
My mother's the opposite. It's like a hoarder show. My mother's house is
Jesus.
Like, you go in there and there's a 50-50 chance you come out, period. Like, they just don't find you. Like, and she busts our balls. Like, "You don't know what I have hidden here. I get stuff hidden everywhere. $100 bills, you're gonna have to go through every sheet of paper." And I'm like, "I'm gonna burn this fucking house down when you die."
Keep that $100.
Yeah, exactly.
Keep that fucking hundo.
Exactly. I actually heard her say one time, my brother was, they got in a fight and whatever. And I think, you know, because I was younger, I don't know, maybe I was the baby and I was getting favoritism. And he said, my brother said to my mother, "Who do you love more, me or Pauly, and my mother goes, I don't think about things like that as long as I have the store. That's what my
that was so close to the right answer. Like, hey, I can't pick between you because I'm focused on the business.
This is why you're a comic. Exactly. That was a great fucking misdirection. Yeah, she's exactly. Like, I don't even think I love you. The store. Right,
yeah. And it wasn't like she had to like ruminate over it. It was he finished the sentence out of her mouth. So you know, I think my brother is like to this day scarred. Like he just doesn't know how to deal with that, right? And so my mother's got some.
You deal with it
angers.
By going, she's an asshole. I don't give a fuck what she thinks anymore, which is how I deal with my mom.
Yeah, so
my mom told me instead of doing comedy, she would rather I sell hot dogs for a living. By the way, I had graduated from college. I had a degree. I was working at the time.
Yeah.
But the notion that I had even like the inkling of a dream was too much for her for some reason.
Yeah, but she did say you need to have your dick sucked though. She did say that.
Yeah, that you gotta find a girl who will suck
you like
your dick.
You like your dick sucked. You have to get a girl, nice Latino girl, to suck your dick. You like your dick sucked.
I think that was her way of trying to steer me away from white women though. See, that was still selfish. I think she made that sacrifice.
She's apparently convinced herself that white women don't suck dick, huh?
I don't know. She's just trying to lobby for her group, I guess. I don't know.
And trust me, she's not a good lobby. Like she's not a representative. In fact, I don't know. It's only till now, Harry, that you kind of got your head together. I don't remember you dating Spanish girls at all. Jesus, like she scared Harry away from Latino women.
Maybe subconsciously anything that would have made her remotely happy. I tried to stay away from.
Like he could be in bed with a woman about the fucker, and then you bring Windex in, and you just his dick goes soft because he just thinks of his mother cleaning.
Oh man, she's off the hook. It's just what's interesting though. I was looking forward to you coming on the show because you really are, like your marriage and stuff. You're like a traditional. Kind of what we would consider traditional kind of marriage. Like you're the guy, like Paul is such a guy, right? And he's very distinct about what his role is and how you see your marriage and what, and not in a dickhead way, but it's
a traditional sort of
way. Very clear.
Right. But it's, you know, it's interesting as we talk about this, but I grew up in a very untraditional family where the roles were reversed and my mother was the dominant one and my father was more submissive. And I'm not saying my wife's submissive, but like I'm saying that
you kind of already said that though.
But I wish she wouldn't be because stuff falls in my lap that I don't think I should have to deal with, but she won't do it. And then she's just, you know, like I said about sex, like we have it when I bring it up. But like, if I don't bring it up, it's like, oh, it's Christmas. Like, you know what I mean?
It's like oatmeal. Do we have any oatmeal in the closet? There's a whole vat of it. You want oatmeal?
It's weird because I fucked her in a tub of oatmeal once, and it was very messy. But I just feel like I am who I am, and you're right. Like it's sort of all out there.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't. I'm not. Saying a woman should be in the
and that's what I mean. It's traditional, but it's not dickhead. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's just kind of it is like we. You know, I'll give you a little background. It's like we've been doing the show for like almost 9 years now, right?
Yeah, I think we're on year nine.
Well, year nine, and so you know, with everything being more progressive in terms of you know, gender fluidity and stuff, and we've had gay and lesbian and trans people on the show and stuff, and so you wonder, you know that these principles work, you know, in the perspective of a traditionally gender traditionally thing, but you know these all these other things out, and so we kind of changed the model to almost to submissive and dominant as opposed to masculine and feminine, you know,
right.
Which is interesting because you're talking about that in terms of your parents, even in a sense that your mother was
my mother dominant. Was like, you know, if you want to just put it differently, like in a traditional sense, If I put on a list of, if I didn't put their names, I just put A and B, and I put a list of personality traits of A and a list of personality traits B, you would think the list of personality traits for my mother, that was the father.
Right.
And you know what I mean? It just completely. Now, my father was, you know, he was a guy, and like, you know, if I, you know, too, he, you know, I fuck around, he grabbed me by the shirt. His hands were like the size of, you know, a baseball bat, a baseball glove. And, you know, and I got, you know, I got hit. That happened too when I was a kid. Yeah. And so like, but yeah, I think that, but I also think a lot of this stuff is taboo on some level. And if you talk about it, you know, you talked about it's gay, straight, gender, fluidity. And, you know, I do think that there's a tendency to kind of be afraid to talk about some stuff, especially if you're straight and white, because you're worried about offending now. But like, I was doing my the one man show I had off Broadway, and I was bringing people on stage, and we were sort of just people telling stories. And I talked to a lot of gay people, and they want to be talked to, not like they're broken, but that just they have in the beginning, and they have stories. Like I asked it to this one guy, he was like in his late 20s. I go, "When did you come out?" He goes, "I was like 16, 17. And his mother was with him on stage. I go, "How did your mother react?" He goes, "I'm glad you asked me that, because nobody ever asked me that." And I'm like, "Oh, all right." And I'm not trying to, I'm not making fun of you. I'm just curious, because I don't know what it's like to be in that moment, right? And I'm just a naturally curious person. He goes, "Well, it was really weird." I go, "Why?" She got upset. He goes, "No, actually," she said, "I have to go to work in the morning. Why are you telling me this at 10:30 at night?" Like, that was a whole reaction to him coming out, which was like, it, you know, and I loved it, because it sort of, it took away the sort of the taboo nature of talking, a straight guy talking to a gay guy about being gay and whatever. And it's like, you know, my mother's generation, she doesn't get that. She goes to me the other day. She goes, "What do you think of those men that wear dresses?" And she made this face like she just like ate a horse's ass. Like it was just, And I'm like, "Ma, I don't even want to get into it." Like, you know, a man, my father was a man's man. She kept calling my father a man, her father. My father, she'd say, was a man's man. And he would come home and he'd, you know, he'd bring us oranges when we were kids. We didn't have a lot of money. So I do think that, I do think those roles, whatever they are, as long as they're defined, I think helps the kid. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like
even, and so I have a view of women, I think, that for people that might actually surprise people, because I saw my mother in this role and still do. Like, she can be emasculating. You know?
Right. Now, how does that lead to the thing where you talk about you want your woman, your wife, to be more assertive? You know what I mean? I get how you want, you know, you don't want to be, I mean, you've been married how long now?
26 years.
And so, I mean, like, there's, you want that defined, because you want some of the burden of it off of you, because there's things that she should take into consideration. But I will say, I there was a guy that I was counseling at one time, and he was in this really abusive relationship, which is interesting. The girl was hideous. Like, really hit, like, he kept saying, my girl. And then him and I went out on a double date, and his girl was so
wasn't getting out of it then.
He was just a very, you know, like, his mother was emasculating and just very, but also passive aggressive, and just, and so he just liked the fact that he was validated by having a girl, just somebody liked him. You know, and the girl was like, she was, man, like, this was before I did comedy, and we went to the comic strip, and I was with my girl at the time, and I could not stop looking at her. She was so hideous. Like,
you're going to give yourself nightmares later? Like, burn it into your brain?
Well, like, I would, like, my girl at the time was elbowing me, "Stop staring." And I was like, I can't stop looking.
It's right? Like a car accident. You can't look away.
And she, and he was, he got engaged to her, and every other week she would hit him in the chest with the ring. "Fuck you. Take this piece of shit." Like, and then, so then he, It was funny because this was before the podcast, before I was doing consultations. I was giving advice. Like, I've always been given that kind of advice.
Right.
And he finally broke up with her, and it was this girl who, really shy dude. We used to go to this Dominican spot on 125th Street in Harlem. And there was this girl. She was smoking hot, like hazel eyes. Body was crazy. She had just off the boat, just from Dominican Republic, right? He goes, he was like, hi, you know, speaking, but he never could stand him. And there was this Cuban guy, who actually went to the Olympics in boxing and worked at the phone company. He went the year that Sugar Ray Leonard and Howard Davis and those guys went.
Did he use that girl's face as a punching bag?
Well, he was a guy who was like, he used to go, yo, you got to talk to guys. He was like real extra.
Yeah.
So he asked, because he didn't speak any Spanish. He asked the guy to hook him up, but he went to the girl, the Dominican girl, and his Spanish was so broken that she didn't even know what he said. But he hooked her up. He was like, you know, this guy, my friend, he wanted to talk to you. Right. It was just like insane. And then he goes, so his name was Julio Matos. And I go to my buddy that was working with me in a phone company. I go, listen, you have to ask her out today. If he hooked you up yesterday, you have to go out and ask and pursue this today. And he didn't understand why. And what I was saying is, I said, look, if this guy gave the okay that you like him, do you like him? And he's coming, he really likes you, he wants to ask you out. And then you come in the store and you just buy your fucking oatmeal and keep going.
Right.
I go, women don't deal with the rejection well.
Right.
So it's almost like I'm looking forward to this guy coming to ask me out. And then he doesn't ask me out. And then days go by because he's scared. And then she starts to resent you because she was into it and she wanted you to ask her out. And then you didn't. And now she feels like you, like almost like you tricked her, you know, like I was like, you have to ask her out today. And so he goes in the restaurant and he comes back out and we're in the phone truck because we worked together. We were partners in the phone truck. And he comes back out and I said, what happened? He goes, I went out. She was real busy. You know, I'll ask her another time. I go, no, you have to ask her today.
Right.
And he goes, well, I'll ask her tomorrow. I go, OK, so you could either go. Here's what you could do. You could either go back in and ask her out to dinner or to a movie or whatever you want to do. Mm-hmm. Or you could come in the truck and fight me. So he goes, what? I go, you could either go in and ask her or come in the truck and fight me.
And Harry, you know he would fight him. You know he would.
Yeah. Beat him. I know for sure. Senseless. I've seen it.
Or you have to talk to Harry's father for like an hour and then kill yourself.
He goes in and he asked the girl out. He goes, oh, my friend Julio, he came, he talked to you. And she was like, she kind of didn't speak a lot of English, but she was like, yeah, he came and talked to me, but I didn't even know what he said. Like, I had no idea what he was talking about. And then he goes, well, anyway, listen, I'd like to take you out. I'd like to take you out. And she was like, oh yeah, today. And he was like, no, I get paid on Thursday. Well, Thursday. And she goes, okay. So he comes back in, he's grinning from ear to ear. I go, what happened? I go, isn't that better? She goes, well, she said, yes. I go, isn't that better than fighting me? That's so much better than fighting me.
That's better.
Exactly.
So fast forward, he ends up marrying this. Well, they date, they get engaged. The first fight that they had was because he washed his own dishes. She came to his apartment, cooked for him, and he went and washed his own dish out. And she said, you don't think I'm a woman enough to wash my man's dishes? Like, this was the fight, right?
What?
It was and like I was like, oh, this is a winner, right?
You can't, right? But you can't win. Like you think like a guy would be like, if a guy said that to her, you wash it because you're a woman, he'd get his dick cut off. But like, that's insane.
You don't think I'm woman enough to take care of my man, right? And I was like,
came from such a traditional background from the DR or whatever that's what she had to do.
Yeah,
right.
And maybe he was like, calling into question her cleaning skills. Like,
what do you think? You don't think I'm I'm a woman. And then, so now fast forward, he's married. He has his kid. He has his second kid. And she has moved in. Her mother, her uncle, she don't clean shit. She don't like, so he was like, you know, she's so sensitive. I just wish she was more assertive. And then he ended up getting divorced from her, that he had to leave the house that for the family and move out. It was insane. So it's, I always think of that when somebody goes, yeah, I wish my wife was more assertive.
Yeah. No, you know, I mean, I do think that she could, like, you know, whatever. And maybe that she might say, well, you know, you're so domineering at times that you don't, you know, and then she puts it back on me and then I give her a backhand. And no, nothing hard that thieves are marked. No. And there's probably something to that because it takes two to tango, you know,
right.
Sort of like if there's anything in the relationship that's not, you know, copacetic, it's usually both people's fault. So I'll own it. But like, here's the other thing. Like, I don't do dishes. I don't do any of that. And it's not because I'm a guy and she's a woman, but it's more like sort of division of labor, you know, because I'm not working and that's her thing. And if I were home and she were working, I would do it.
Right. Right.
But like, you know, I get turned on if she initiates sex. Like there's a turn on there. Right.
Sure. Because it makes you feel as though you want it. As opposed to she's just, you want the oatmeal?
Yeah, I feel like the same feeling that you get when you're asking your friends to move, you know, help you move. It's like, you know, do you mind coming in?
Hey, I got this. It's just one love seat.
And then I'll give you pizza and beer afterwards if you have sex.
It's going to be over before you know it. It won't take long. If we all work together, we'll get through this real quick.
I use belts and blankets. It's all good, you know. So
how do you broach that? I mean, have you ever broached that about her not initiating?
Like, I wish you'd initiate more and then maybe she'll do it once and then it doesn't happen for 2 years. Like,
right.
I think some people get in their patterns and you can't, you know, I don't know, maybe my libido's going more than hers. I don't know what it is. It's not like it's like, a, you know, going to cause a breakup of our marriage or anything. But like, I do think that.
It would definitely enhance the relationship.
But I do think there's a benefit that I married somebody like her because I don't think if I married me, we'd both be dead.
Right.
Like, we would. Right. We like, so she brings a calmness and she's very positive and I can be because not so much like your dad, but my mom is pretty jaded and negative, like Harry's dad. And like, I think I got some of that. And like my mother was shitting on the idea of birthday parties the other day. She goes, I never got a birthday party. Literally. Like she's with me, my wife and my grandson. She goes, birthday parties. What do you guys think of birthday? What do you mean? What do we think of birthday parties? Like, that's like, what do you think of sunshine? What the fuck are you talking about? Well, I never had a birthday party. I go, are you actually shitting on people for having a birthday? No. And then she backtracked, but she really was like, oh no, I was just saying it's nice that people you hate birthday parties. So it's like, how do you not let that affect you? But
she's like, birthday parties, cupcakes, puppies, Santa Claus, fuck them.
Fuck you.
You got to clean up after them. Puppies. I mean, there's shit all over the place.
Right. You got to light the candle. You got to blow out the candle. What do I look like? A vacuum cleaner? I don't have this kind of time. Like, so, hey, listen, I got to jump, unfortunately, because I got to head over to the show. But
where are you working at today?
I'm at the Late Show with Colbert.
Oh, right, with Colbert. Right. You're still doing Colbert. Awesome.
Yeah, we're
man.
Back with the we're back with audiences now. Yeah.
How's it feel to be back with that, with the audiences and stuff?
It's good. It's like great energy. People are really psyched. It's definitely weird because like we hadn't been there in a while and just, you know, without an audience for a long time. And then it's cool. And and doing my podcast, and I want to get you on the podcast.
Yeah, so let's do it. Whatever you got to plug your stuff real quick. All your social media,
the
everything.
Podcast is social media at Paul Mercurio, MECURIO, one R in my name at Paul Mercurio. But the podcast, you know, kind of something for everybody. I got a whole different, you know, take on different tastes of guests. So I got it. It's all over the place. I have Paul McCartney.
And you said you have Paul McCartney, right?
Yes.
Can you tell me how you got him?
Yeah. Kevin Costner, Stephen Colbert, Bill Burr. So real quick, I was working at the Colbert Report at the time and he was the guest and he had just finished rehearsal and we were about to start taping, and I'm walking through the hallway, and in the hallway all alone is Paul McCartney, like just standing like he's waiting for a bus, like leaning against the wall. And I'm like, oh my God, it's fucking Paul McCartney. Should I say hi? Should I not say hi?
Right, right.
And then I'm like, he's alone in a hallway, like a gazelle on the Serengeti plains. I'm going to pounce, right? So I said, I just want to say it's a great honor to meet you and looking forward to your show. And I start walking away and he goes, no, come back. He goes, what's your name? I go, Paul. He goes, oh, cool, man. What do you do? I go, stand up. I, you know, work on the show, blah, blah, blah. He goes, oh, I love stand up. I knew Richard Pryor, blah, blah, blah. He goes, you got a kid? Yeah, I got a kid. Travel a lot, right? Yeah, it's hard on the road. So 5-10 minutes go by. I'm talking to Paul McCartney like I'm talking to you. Like,
right, right, right.
And, like, and I'm trying to be super cool. Like on the outside, I'm like, hey, man, I'm talking to Paul McCartney. But on the inside, I'm like, I'm talking to Paul McCartney. It was like those girls at Shea Stadium, and I was out of my mind. And as I'm talking to him, I'm getting closer and closer and closer to his face. Cause like, I never, you know, like I was like the close talker in Seinfeld. Right. Like I was this close.
Right, right, right.
Like I could have cleaned like ticks off his eyebrows. I was that close. And then he's like leaning backwards as I'm talking to him. And then I'm like, I got to leave this guy alone. So I go, I'm going to go now. Nice to meet you. And I go into the bathroom, I'm hyperventilating. And then I'm like, think Paul McCartney should do my podcast because I want to talk to him about music. Like that's how my stupid brain works.
Right, right.
So I go and I knock on the door and I say, it's dressing room door. I go, this is, would you do my podcast? He goes, yeah, sure. Just like that.
Wow.
Now, you know, you're like, when you're in like high school or college or whatever, like there's this really hot girl or guy and you wanted to ask him out, but you're too shy because they're way above your pay grade. And like you.
Yeah, and never.
You Why do you fuck?
But I get it.
And but you say I'm gonna ask him out anyway, but they're gonna say no, and instead they say yes, and you don't have a plan. That was what happened. So he goes, yeah, sure. How do we do it? And I completely froze and got like completely. I was shaking and I turned into like Rain Man, and I was like ah. And I'm like rubbing my thigh like I got some kind of disorder, like ah. I go, I can come to London. And he goes, we're in a room in New York together. Why would you come to London? And then he goes, is it easy to do? And I actually said to Paul McCartney, oh, yeah, it's really easy. You could do it on the phone, like naked from your toilet. I'm like, what the fuck am I saying? So end of story. I'm like, all right, I'm going to get out of here. I said, I'll go find your assistant and we'll set it up. And he goes, no, no, you and I'll do it. I go, what do you mean? He goes, they're just going to make a big deal out of it and make it complicated. Let's just exchange numbers. And when I call you, you got to be ready to do it, right?
Uh-huh.
So now I'm handing my phone number to him, right? And I think he's like, and he gives me a phone number, but I think it's like a phone number to a Chinese restaurant, right? Uh-huh. Some bullshit. So he does the show, and it was amazing. And I was working at the Daily Show at the time too. So I'm packing up my bag. It's after the after the Colbert Show taping, and I'm packing up my bag, and I'm late, and my phone rings, and I don't recognize the number.
Mm-hmm.
So I let it ring the voicemail, and this is the message on my phone.
Paul McCartney here. I'm going to ring you back in 5 minutes to do the podcast thing. I've got some time now. Otherwise, I'm going to run out of time. So if you're there in 5 minutes' time, you call me.
Wow. So what'd you do? It just on your phone or what? How'd you do it?
I called him back. I'm like, why are you bothering me? I did, I did it from a phone at the Daily Show. It was like crazy. My favorite part of that is that he felt he needed to identify himself as Paul McCartney. But anyway, that's on there, and I got, you know, comedians and actors and writers and all that stuff. And
dope.
Check it out. Yeah, man. And
yo, plug all your stuff real quick.
All right, yeah. So at Paul Mercurio on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, the Paul Mercurio Show.
Spell it.
M-E-C-U-R-I-O. M-E-C-U-R-I-O. Not M-E-R-C-U-R-I-O. If you put two R's in there, there's an Australian actor, different guy. Mm. All right, man. Love you.
All right, brother. Paul. Thanks, bro. Hey, talk to you soon.
Manschool 202 is created by Dante Nero. Hosted by Dante Nero. With Harry Turjanian and Andre D. Thompson. Produced by Harry Turjanian. Executive producers, Matt Kleinschmidt, Harry Turjanian, and Dante Nero.